This afternoon, we're going to take a trip back in time, and we're going to examine something that most of us have probably not taken too much stock of, but we need to. It's written for our learning, like everything in the Bible. It's designed to give us some very specific instruction, and it deals with people just like ourselves and things that can happen to people just living life. There's an example, and I'll ask you to turn, if you would, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 through 10. We're going to use that as the backdrop to something that happened back there and examine this information in light of the message that God has for us to learn from it. Because, again, everything is written for our learning. Life is a learning process. It's a journey. You learn as you go along. The quicker you listen to the master or the teacher or the instructor, who is God and Jesus Christ, the quicker you become knowledgeable about the topic or thing that you're investing your time with. You have to listen to your instructor if you're going to be a plumber. Listen to your instructor if you're going to be an airline pilot. All these things require a learning application coupled with a doing. You have to learn and then you have to do. Learn and do. This is what the Bible wants us to get, a very important message. And we're going to learn about a situation that was very tragic that happened back at this time. The title of this sermon topic today is The Tragic Death of Uzzah. The Tragic Death of Uzzah. And what that also has a subtitle, A Shocking Lesson for Our Learning. So the title is The Tragic Death of Uzzah, A Shocking Lesson for Our Learning. And learn we must, because God has provided this in the Word of God to teach us something here that we must never forget. David, you remember King David, man who was found with great favor in God's eyes, had his problems, his difficulties. But this is an account of David taking us into his life. Just like all of us have life's experiences, this was a life experience of King David. And King David had long desired to bring the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. He wanted to bring it back, very symbol of God's presence, to the capital city. Now, it had been taken away by an incursion of the Philistines, and the Philistines had taken the Ark away from the Israelites. David's desire was to bring it back. And with great fanfare and with many witnesses, this Ark of the Covenant was coming back to Jerusalem under David's leadership, and many who were witnessing it, they saw that the Ark was placed on a cart. Take note of that. And it was led from its current site to Jerusalem. Its current site was in the territory of the Philistines. Now it is coming back by David and all those individuals, a great fanfare. They were bringing it back to Jerusalem. But something strange happened on the way. Strange things do happen in life. This was a strange occurrence. It happened on the way to the capital city, where the oxen that was pulling the cart with the Ark of God on it, the scriptures tell it that as they approached the capital city, it says, the oxen stumbled. They stumbled. And as a result, it upset the cart, and the Ark of God began to tilt like it was ready to fall off the ark and hit the ground. Now, you might overlook something in this little incident, and that's why we're studying it today. Because most of us would read right over it, might not even think about this. But here's the problem. The significant fact is that this oxen stumbled on what was called the threshing floor. The threshing floor. Now, if you know anything about a threshing floor, you might have overlooked that small detail, because a threshing floor is an area of hard, packed dirt. It has to be absolutely level, because this is where they thresh the wheat, and they have the animals carry the heavy boards to run over and get all the wheat from the chaff and so forth. It has to be flat, just like this floor in front of us is flat. Can't have ups and downs. You can't have a good threshing floor with ups and downs. It has to be flat. So it's hard-packed soil, and it separates the grain from the chaff. Now, for a threshing floor to work, it had to be hard and it had to be level. Now, this is important. So at the most level, smooth part of the entire trip at the threshing floor, the oxen stumbles. Why would it do that? Why would it stumble when it didn't have to? Uneven ground is where you would think it would stumble. But in this case, on the threshing floor, it stumbles. Now, Uzzah, one of the followers in the group, seeing God's ark was about to fall, just like any of us, put yourself in his shoes now. This is the lesson we're learning. What did Uzzah do? What was his natural reaction? He reached out to steady it, to keep it from falling, which anyone might do. It looks like it's going to fall. You're not going to stand there and let the ark of God fall to the ground, so you've got to stabilize it, help it. And as soon as he touched the ark, it says God struck him dead. And everyone was shocked. What has happened? Why would God react in such a manner? I mean, all he was trying to do was good intentions to try to help stabilize the ark. And you die for that? There's something written here for our learning, to take a deeper appreciation for this whole event. The question that we need to consider today is, why did Uzzah have to die? His whole reaction was nothing more than good intentions, something that you or I or anyone else would do if you were in that situation. And, of course, the recording of this event is to teach something according to Romans 15:4, as I've mentioned to you already. There's a lesson here. God doesn't just act capriciously, but people who don't understand how God operates might say, oh, there's that harsh, cruel God. See, look, he just strikes people dead for no reason at all. Well, there was a reason here. There was a lesson here. Now, what did Uzzah do? Did he do something wrong? By learning from the mistakes of others, note, Uzzah is a lesson of learning from the mistake he made that dealt with dealing with God. You see, we're all dealing with God day in and day out, whether you fully realize that or not. He's watching over every one of us. It says he knows when a bird hits the ground. He knows the hairs on our head or the lack of them. He knows everything about you, your comings, your goings, your risings, your sittings. God is invested in every one of us as human beings made in his image, and especially those of us called by his grace at this time. Now, God wants us then to learn something here from the mistake of a man called Uzzah and records that little bitty story. And we love stories, you know. Children love stories. I love to sit on mom and dad's lap and read me a story. And then you read the story and you finish it. And they say, read it again. And you, so you do it. And then you put it down and think they've finished it. And they say, read it again. They want you to keep reading that story again and again and again. God wants us to read these stories again and again and again as his children. Not one time and forget it, but read it and remember it and the lesson. That why did God record it this way? We're told this is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. That it's all written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the age are come. There's something that is bringing it down into our time and our day and age today. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11. If we fail to understand why Uzzah had to die, we will fail in our own attempts in serving God. Well, that's how important it is. We don't learn the lesson. We're not dealing with just anybody. We're dealing with the Almighty Sovereign Lord, Yehovah, the Eternal One, and his Son, Yeshua, as they refer to him, or Yeshua, or Joshua, who is the Word, the Son of God, who came to this earth to become our Savior. That's who we're dealing with. As we examine God's instructions in the Bible for the care of the Ark of the Covenant, now story begins to link with something else. You know, just like your iPhone, somebody's, or Facebook, sends you something and they link it with something else. And you say, well, where'd this come from? It all got linked together. These stories are all linked together to teach us how to deal with our God and our Creator. Now, this is important. And why did God allow it? Because God is in charge. He has all power. He's going to take care of Uzzah. Uzzah didn't do something super mean here, but he was left to be an example for all mankind when dealing with God. As we examine these instructions, we find the following. That God was very specific on how the ark was to be transported. Remember, what does the story say? It came in on an ark. A cart. Very similar. So the ark is on a cart. And it's being brought with oxen to Jerusalem. Now it continues on, and we are told in Exodus chapter 37, verse 5, Exodus 37, verse 5, that it must be carried by utilizing poles. You don't put your hands on it. You put poles through rings, and you carry it over your shoulder. So they got that right in Indiana Jones. If you remember the movie, any of you saw that when they finally discovered, quote, the Ark of the Covenant in that movie, they put poles in there and they carried it carefully. So at least they were biblically correct on that point. Now, the Ark had to be covered also with one situation with kind of a covering where no one could gaze on it. You're not supposed to look at it. Why? Because the Bible tells you no man can look on God and survive. And what do we have here? The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. So if the presence of God is here, you better cover this up because the average person can't look at this thing and survive. All right, more instruction. That's found in Numbers 4, verses 5 and 6. Numbers 4, verses 5 and 6. Now, only certain families were allowed to carry the ark. Not just anybody could do it. So who carries it? Well, the leading family were the Levites. They were given the charge of the tabernacle and carrying on the responsibilities dealing with the ark. It was not long before all this incident that we've just gone over. It was not long before that the Philistines, the arch enemies of Israel, who always would attack and cause problems for the Israelites, they got involved in a battle, and they were able to capture the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we don't know all the details and why God did how he did certain things there. But anyway, they took it, and soon the Philistines learned, we got a tiger in this tank. We have got something here that is extremely dangerous. It's not, we thought we could get it here and that it would help us in our battles against our enemies, against the Israelites. But instead, what happened? They found out just the opposite. They found out it was an extremely dangerous thing because the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. You know, God is, he can be very dangerous to be around. Especially as it says, you know, if you want to be an enemy of God, you're in trouble. So you want to be his friend. You want to do all that he says so that he can do as he has promised to bless. Now what we see the Philistines then learning is that their idol god, they had their big Dagon, the fish god, you remember, and they would bring the ark and they would set it in front of their fish god. And they thought their fish god, you know, was supreme. We have conquered the god of the Israelites and we brought their god in front of our god. So they wake up the next day and what do they find out? Their God is flat on their face in front of the Ark of the Covenant, the true God. Well, that doesn't go down well. And then what ends up happening later, the Philistines decided to put the Ark on a cart and let that terrible thing go back where it came from, the Israelites. They just did not want to mess with this thing. And so, 1 Samuel chapter 6, 7 through 9, and verse 12 gives you more information on this very subject. Now, it is most likely that this event that is recorded in that scripture, where the Israelites got the idea that the ark could be transported on a cart. I mean, Philistines brought it in on a cart. Well, let's just use the cart and take it back to Jerusalem, and we can go from there. The only problem, we don't know how God allowed the Philistines to use the cart or carry. That part of the story is not given to us. What we're given is the fact that David and the people knew, they knew what God's commands were concerning this Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, but they chose to ignore it for whatever reason. Their intentions were good. Let's bring the ark now from the Philistines. Let's bring it back to Jerusalem. Have you ever heard of the old expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? I think people have good intentions at the start of every year in their so-called New Year's resolutions. How long do they last? Good intentions don't always necessarily bring the right results. And in this case, it's a classic example. David wanted to bring the symbol of God's presence to the city. The people came out in mass to honor. Uzzah, this guy who most of us would never even have known if God hadn't put his name there, Uzzah just wanted to keep the ark from falling. That's a noble goal. Who wouldn't want to do that? And so what ends up happening? We find that, again, there are many people who have good intentions in their heart in this world today, and they justify their behavior before God. Well, that's something to think about. And what God has done, he's allowed an incident to happen and be recorded to show the importance of following God's instruction. Because today there are many people that claim they love God, but they think his law is done away. And yet the Bible affirms the law of God is not done away. That it's being written in our minds and our hearts in the new covenant. Excuse me. But they believe, and that's many people out there who believe, that God knows our hearts. Because he knows our hearts, he will pardon any faults that we may have, as long as our intentions are good. And the truth of the matter is, no. God teaches something quite different. Man likes to think, and when I say man, that's mankind, that's womankind as well. Man likes to think that his situation, that he's pure. And what does the scripture tell us in Proverbs 16:2? You will discover that we are far from pure. And Proverbs 16:25 says, what looks good in a man's sight doesn't necessarily mean it is right. There's a way that seems right to a person, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. If you leave God out of the picture, you're just heading in the wrong direction, is what it's saying. David and the people were sincere in their efforts. All of God's people are sincere in their efforts. But if we're not careful, just remember this. There's a lot of sin in sincerity. A lot of sin in sincerity. And we can be sincerely wrong. And that's what God is cautioning us to be careful. Have you heard people who say, well, God is too good to punish anyone? God is love, and he just loves everybody. And as long as a person's intentions are good, everything will work out. Not necessarily. Not according to the record of history and the account of life itself and reality. A lot of people feel it doesn't matter how you worship God so long as you're sincere in your worship toward God. God speaks quite differently about this. David and the people were sincere in their efforts. They were very sincere. I mean, here they were just absolutely happy. We've got the Ark of the Covenant. Everything is moving great. We're bringing it to Jerusalem. All of a sudden, for some reason, on a threshing floor where you shouldn't normally stumble, down go the ox. They stumble on something. Do you fall on something that is normally flat? You stumble over something when it's irregular. Now, there may be exceptions. As human beings, we can all stumble and fall even on a flat surface. But these are sure-footed oxen. And they did what? They stumbled. And this thing begins to fall. So what did David and his people do? They did what anybody would do. That's a very important lesson. We're all in the same situation. It's something anybody would do. That's the only reason the story's put there. To alert us to a danger that can happen, especially when dealing with God. Because we're dealing with God. We're not dealing with men. And none of us want to be on the wrong side of the ledger with God. We want to be well done, good and faithful servant. And so God demands obedience. People today take a very light approach in worshiping God. I say a light approach. That means, what's the diff? Doesn't matter. They just have this attitude where God says in Proverbs 21 and verse 3 that righteousness and justice is more acceptable than sacrifices. That's what God's looking for. He wants to see behavior that glorifies him. The righteousness being the keeping of the commandments and the judicial manner in which we live our lives. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, obedience is more important to God. It's stated there again. So we have to burn those thoughts into our mind. Because again, it took the life of a man to learn these lessons for ancient Israel. In Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, here it says, all sacrifices in the world cannot make up for being unjust, unmerciful, and filled with pride. And yet there are a lot of people today that live that way. God is saying he does not want his people to live that way. So that's part of our assignment, to live according to God's command. Hosea 6 and verse 6, mercy and knowledge is more important than offerings. Mercy and knowledge. God wants us to know, and he wants us to execute mercy in dealing with one another as human beings, because we're all in the same human experience. Jeremiah 7, verse 21 through 26. That's Jeremiah 7, 21 through 26. God thinks obedience was more important than sacrifices per se. Now here, God told his people to offer sacrifices in the Old Testament. We know that. And they thought that the sacrifices they were doing were the important things. They forgot it was God who was important, who was telling them to do these sacrifices for a reason, to teach them something. They thought the sacrifices were the important thing, and as long as they got those sacrifices right, it really didn't matter how much or what you did from that point on. But God told his people to offer sacrifices, and those sacrifices didn't work out in their favor. People do the same thing today. They do the same thing today. Think about it. Maybe some of us have even been guilty of this same thing ourselves and have had to repent of it. People today do the same thing. Some religions allow their members to act any way they want, as long as they do what? Confess their sins and do penance or an outward show that they're sincere. And so we see different religions, and they say, if you'll just say you acknowledge God and you forgive him, you know, I repent of my sins, and then, you know, everything will be all right, and that you love Jesus. And they've got all these little terms that they can use. You're familiar with many of them. Unfortunately, members even in the Church of God can fall into that trap if they're not careful. What I'm saying is that these religions let people live life dealing with God in a careless manner. Careless manner. You and I cannot live in a careless manner with God. That's where we get into trouble. That's why Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction, the narrow way leads to life. And who can be to find it? Only God can show you. If you're not listening to God, following his instruction, you won't get it out there the broad way, because he said that way is already hidden in the wrong way. So here we have, again, as long as they come to church on their, quote, Sabbath, which would be a Sunday, or as long as we come to church, which we're commanded to do, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, if we think that just by coming to church, that it doesn't matter what else we do throughout the rest of the week, then we're told to remember the lesson of Uzzah. Remember the lesson of Uzzah. He was dealing with God, and God wasn't pleased with how he performed. Now, God will have mercy on him, bring him up in a resurrection his time, but boy, he provides a valuable lesson, and God allowed it to happen that way. Remember, God, it's God's will that is being executed, and you and I have to understand that in that context. God is to be worshipped in spirit and truth. John 4, verse 23, 24, in spirit and truth. It takes both the sincerity and obedience to be acceptable to God. Obedience and sincerity to be acceptable to God. In Galatians 1 and verse 8, God's word cannot be changed. In fact, he warns us. He says, don't add thereto or take away therefrom. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 17, it says, it must be done, all that we do, with the authority of Jesus. We're following his commands, not other individuals, because we have no authority of ourselves. It is God who gives us the commands through Jesus. And we are to speak as the Bible speaks in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Now, Uzzah died. Yes, it was a tragic death. All because he touched the Ark of God. You and I are touching God daily. In our prayers, in our life, in all that we represent at this time, because we're striving to be like Jesus Christ and to be a part of the first resurrection that God has ordained to bring glory, honor, and immortality to the saints of God who have followed in his footsteps. So here we are. We're learning something Uzzah died because he touched the ark of God, but he wasn't the only one punished. That day shocked the daylights out of David and everyone else that saw what happened. You remember another event that happened in the New Testament. I won't go there, but it's referred to in the book of Acts, where a person called Ananias and Sapphira, they did a little something there, a little song and dance, and it was exposed, and bingo, something happened to them, similar to Uzzah. And what ended up happening? It says it just spread like wildfire through the whole church of God. It made everybody stop and take note. Well, when you see a shocking event, it does make you stop and take note. And that's what God wants us to do, stop and take note of every day in our dealings with God, that we don't become careless in our dealings with God. And all too often, I'm afraid to say, dear brethren, we are. We're guilty of that and have to repent of that. Because if we're not, then we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You don't even have to listen to what I have to say because you've got it all signed, sealed, and delivered. And you know I'm being facetious with you because we don't have it all signed, sealed, and delivered. God is knocking on the door of our minds, and he wants us to understand that these are critical times. And that little story of Uzzah is a reminder of what David had to learn. And David was a man after God's own heart. And you and I want to be a man and woman after God's own heart. And what does it say about David? David learned in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verses 1 and 2 and 12 through 15. That's 1 Chronicles 15, 1 and 2 and 12 to 15. And notice what David's admission was. He said, we did not consult God about the proper order. They got so excited about what they were doing, they forgot to ask God first. And it made me ask the question, how often do we consult God before we act on something that we want to do? Do we really pray about it and ask God for his guidance, help, and direction? Or do we just launch out because we know we're smart, we understand, do we? Not when it comes to spiritual things. We might have some knowledge in physical things, but even then, sometimes you can't count on that. But spiritually speaking, boy, we have to consult with God on everything. Each and every day. You never know when you wake up in the morning what is out there in that day. Only God knows. So you consult him first thing in the morning and you ask God to please guide your thoughts and your mind and your actions. You're never in the wrong place at the wrong time. That God's angels will be with you and that you're in the right place at the right time. That God will bless you accordingly as you strive to walk in his ways. Because if you don't ask, you don't receive. If you don't seek, you don't find. And if you don't knock, that door will never be open. So we're told in the scriptures what to do. And a little incident like this, Uzzah, and a stumbling of oxen on a threshing floor. Why should I pay attention to that? Why should you pay attention to it? Because it had dealings with God. And Uzzah, representing all of us, reached out to do it his way, thinking he was helping God. How many times have we thought we were going to do certain things and we were doing it, hoping that it was the blessing of God, and it didn't turn out that way? Dear brethren, we all have a lot to learn when it comes to things. We are truly children. We think we know, and we know in part, like Paul said, but there's so much to learn. David said it all. We did not consult God about the proper order. God was concerned about the proper order. And so you and I have got to be concerned. When he says certain things are done a certain way, remember a certain day and keep it holy, he's not woofing. He's talking language we should understand. But the Sabbath is a very special day for all of us in our relationship with God, with one another, and we are dealing with God. Oh, That's a mind-staggering concept to just run that through your brain. They did not do it right. They did not seek God's approval. At first, David got mad. He was upset with God for having it until he realized, did his homework and due diligence, and he found out he was only the one to blame. David allowed it. He was the head man. He allowed it to go. And the people followed their leader. And somebody died. Anytime we are doing anything, we don't want somebody to die because of our inappropriate actions. We want to be a God-like instrument. We cannot approach the worship of God haphazardly. I can't drive home that point enough. We cannot approach the Word of God and the worship of God haphazardly. When we come here on the Sabbath, we should be reading Isaiah chapter 40 and realize this is the great God we're coming before. You're not coming here to impress one another. We're coming here to learn what we are lacking. Our relationship with God is in peril. All mankind's relationship with God is in peril. And until a person comes to understand and be called of God and repent of their sins, be baptized, receive the Spirit of God, then we're told to do what? Live each day to the full, to the glory of God, and don't grieve the Spirit of God. How do you grieve it? By these things we have just covered. Like Uzzah, it grieved the Spirit of God for him to reach over and touch, but God allowed him to die to teach everybody else down through time. Read them this story, Mom and Dad. Read them this story. Teach them again. Make them God conscious. I'll deal with the conversion. That's God's job. But our job is to make our children God conscious and not to deal with God haphazardly. He's not just like one of the boys or one of the girls. He is God supreme. He is the mighty Yehovah, eternal sovereign Lord of all. That we must always remember. Our sloppiness could cause the destruction of other people. That can happen on a highway, being careless, and you destroy the lives of people. I remember an incident of one young lady years ago in a congregation I knew of. Couldn't wait to be 16, get a driver's license, get in the car. Hadn't had much experience, but she knew. She got in the car. I'm flying down the highway. Unfortunately, she met another woman in another car who happened to be pregnant at the time, and she killed them both. 16 years old and having to live with the reality that you killed a mother and her child, unborn child. That's not an easy one, brethren. But it happens every day in this world. That's why most people don't pay any attention to it. People are dying all the time. God says life is precious. You are your brother's keeper. Boy, I wish they would be our keeper on those highways, because they're driving like a bunch of demons out there now. They're not driving right with their spirit. Their mind is elsewhere. It's carelessness. You take your life in your hands when you get on the highway of life. Our laziness could keep somebody out of the kingdom of God, because your example is what? Powerful. If your example is, come see, come saw with God. No, ain't that way. If you don't fear God and radiate that fear out of your life, then how is somebody else going? How are children going to grow up and learn to fear God and keep his commandments? Ignorance of the law is no excuse before God. That's why it says you've got to be a keeper of the law. Man teaches that in man's law. It doesn't matter if you say, that car down there, it stopped in front of the stop sign. Why should I have to stop in front of the stop sign? I should be able to just shoot right through it. Well, how do I know that? Because the stop sign's been fulfilled. The car in front of it, it's an old example, but it still carries tremendous weight. You can't dismiss things. That cop will come right behind you, the officer, and he'll pull you over. Why? Because you're supposed to stop. Everyone's supposed to keep the law. And there would be chaos in the universe if God did not have a law-abiding kingdom. And his kingdom is going to be here one day, and people are going to learn about that law. We all have to learn to serve God in the ways that he has taught us. That's why we're here every Sabbath, to be taught in the things of God. If we're here and we're letting our minds run elsewhere and we're not focusing in on the topic and trying to glean from these things, then what will happen is that you will have a weak understanding of these topics. You won't be as sharp and crystal clear on these things as you should be. Now, if you go to a school or college, you find the same thing in all classes. You find some students that really pay attention and they're sharp and they got 4.0 average. Others are just content to get a C. And some maybe even a D, at least a passed. You know, that's not good enough. God doesn't want us just to pass. He wants us to succeed. He says, don't bury that talent. Make it happen. You got 5, make it 10. You got 20, make it 40, whatever it might be. God wants us to live life and to enjoy it. So the lesson learned on this subject is don't let your worship of God become careless. Don't let your worship of God become careless. And may God help us all to tremble before this mighty word of God, as it says in Isaiah 66. God says he will look to this person who fears him and trembles at his word. Not out of fear, oh, God's going to get me, not that, but trembles to realize how precious this is that you've been given eyes to see. He told that to his own disciples when they said, well, why do you teach us these things and you don't teach them? He said, because it's given to you. It is not given to them at this time. Their healing comes later. Your healing comes now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us never forget the lesson of Uzzah.